I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, and I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was thinking of what to encourage you to do in the year 2018, I decided that it was a year to take risks. Now, I don't mean risks like buy a snowmobile and go out on the trails, unless you're Scotty Weborg. He likes to do that. I don't mean jump out of an airplane and parachute to some area, even though George H.W. Bush loved to do that on his birthday. I don't mean those kinds of risks. I mean the risks that we take each and every day when we name the name of Christ, because being a Christian is very risky business. And whether you are speaking a word of forgiveness, whether you are speaking a word of comfort or assurance, whatever we do as Christians, it can be very risky. And I'm going to tell you the story about the people from that letter to about Onesimus to the Philemon that was such risky business. Now, if you know the story, there was a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus was not a good person. Onesimus apparently stole from his master and ran away. Now, in Roman times, slaves were not considered people. They were considered property. And a slave owner, if he was dealing with a terrible slave, he could put that slave to death with impunity. No court in the land would convict him because he wasn't murdering a person. He was murdering a piece of property. And so Onesimus ran away from Philemon. He had stolen money. And he must have been a fairly bad character because instead of gaining his freedom, he ended up in jail in another city. So he must have done something bad in Rome and he was in jail. And he meets up with the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul is in jail not because he was a bad person. He was a very good person that liked to preach, and his preaching got him in a lot of trouble. He took a lot of risks, and those risks landed him in jail. So he meets up with Onesimus, and he preaches the gospel to Onesimus, and Onesimus becomes a Christian. Not only does he become a Christian, but it seems that he and Paul bond. And so this young man became Paul's protege in prison. And when they released Onesimus, Paul had encouraged him. He said, you need to go back and make this right with your owner, whom Paul happened to know. Talk about being a small world. He knew Philemon. He knew of him. He knew that he was a wonderful man. And so he said, I'm going to send you back. Now, that was a terrible risk for Onesimus to do the right thing because Philemon could have killed him. But think of the risk to Paul, because in those days, when you traveled with a letter, you didn't travel without money. And Paul was a man of means, so he must have given Onesimus money for his travel and this letter, this personal letter, to bring back to Philemon. How many of us would have taken that risk? He could have taken the money and ran the other direction, but he didn't. Onesimus decided to do the right thing, and so he brings that letter to Philemon and has to throw himself on the mercy of this man who he's wronged. Now, Philemon also had to risk something. He had to risk his reputation. He had to risk his household because I'm sure there were other slaves in that household who were watching this and wondering. And Philemon had to go against his entire culture that said slaves were not equal. Because Paul, in his letter, which was kind of a manipulative letter, you know, I'm not going to tell you to do this, Philemon, but, you know, you owe me. And I'll pay whatever Onesimus owes you, but, you know, you owe me your life. But he said to him, Don't just bring him back to your household. Make him your brother. What a risk to take. To take this person who had done such wrong to him and say, I'm not only going to forgive you and restore you, but I'm going to make you equal to me. What a risk he took. But do you know what the end of the story is? Onesimus became a bishop of the church. And there's actually a day where the Catholic Church remembers Saint Onesimus. He became a great leader of the church because he risked, and Paul risked, and Philemon risked all for the gospel. Make 2018 a year of risk. Bob mentioned that he found out he had a half-brother he didn't know. And I want to tell you a little bit about that story. Now, my father-in-law has four children plus an adopted boy, so five kids. He did not know that he was the father of a sixth child, an older boy. But there was something beyond that. His wife had been a teenage mother, and she had to give up her baby boy for adoption. And a few years ago, she found her boy, and she was so delighted. This young man swooped into her life. He was married, so she had a grandchild. She was so thrilled, and she sent out notifications that she had found her long-lost son. And then after some months went by, I didn't hear anything about this long-lost son. Come to find out, he used his connection with his mother to try to extort money from them. And he created such havoc and heartbreak in their lives that they had to cut off all contact with him. Then my father-in-law gets a call. Hi, Dad. What would you do if you knew that you had just gone through a terrible experience and now here's another child coming into your life, a stranger? You don't know how he was raised. Now, my father-in-law could have said easily, you know, I have five of my own. I don't need another kid. It's nice that you contacted me. I'll send you some information. Now, what Grandpa Bob did was he was like the man in the prodigal son where he killed the fatted calf. He invited the entire family to meet this young man, this stranger. He opened his home. He opened his heart. There's a picture of my new brother-in-law getting off the plane, and my father-in-law hugs him in a bear hug. And then he got up at this big family dinner, and he thanked everyone for welcoming his son. Now, they're having a wonderful time and a wonderful relationship, but he had no idea that that could happen. It could have easily ended the other way. I hope in 2018 we take risks like that. Risks of love. Risks of fidelity. Even when we have no idea how it's going to turn out. I thought of other risk takers. Remember Jane Olson? Jane Olson was a risk taker. Jane had retired as a teacher. She loved to tutor kids. That was a fun thing to do. She was a widow. But she took tremendous risks with the international community. She loved those young people. And she didn't just take them to things. She didn't just drive them where they needed to be driven. She took kids into her home, kids that she didn't know. One time she was traveling along 42 and there was a young lady with suitcases, obviously foreign, walking down the highway, and Jane stopped the car, took her into the car, drove her to the home, found out what the problem was, and the young lady wanted to leave Door County. She made sure she had a plane ticket and that she had people on the other side of that plane to take care of her. Talk about risk taking. This was incredible. She did this all the time. It seemed there was a revolving door in her house with people coming in and out. And when she was dying, there were people who hopped on planes from Russia to come visit her. There was a young woman who couldn't get a visa in time, so she made a video about Jane, and she said, "She was my angel." Here was a woman who expended time, who expended treasure, who expended her life so that the young people who came to this county knew that they had a safe place to be with Jane Olson. You're going to have to interrupt me. I think it's midnight. Let's stand.
Yeah.